just tweet about it. Chris Evans is Captain America. Made me briefly think about like an alternate world where
Chris Evans was Superman.
The Superman. Ooh. Kevin Feige is hired by Warner Brothers to oversee the DC universe. And instead of the first Avenger, we got Chris Evans' Superman movie. I think he could do a good job with it.
Yeah, I think he could.
I guess he's retired from Captain America now. And old boy stepped down as that's not super official, but it seems like the guy that had playing Superman, Cavill, is
Henry Cavill, yeah.
He's kind of done.
He said old boy. I was like, wait, what? I genuinely did not know what you're talking about.
I think that business with Chris Evans is a little bit of a smokescreen.
You don't think he's done?
Nope.
You got some inside info?
Well, no. I mean, but they did, one of the Russo brothers did say that, he said something like, he's not as done with Captain America as you might think. Something. He's like, it'll all make sense after the movie comes out. I don't want him to, one, I don't want Captain America to ever go.
No.
And two, I don't want Chris Evans to ever not be Captain America. So.
Yeah. Because you could have him pass the mantle, but still exist like they did in the comics for a while.
I don't want that, though.
He's the new Nick Fury. And
see, that's kind of the issue. As cool as the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, and, you know, we've never had anything like this before. It truly is the first and only time this has been pulled off. Mm-hmm. And so it's very cool. And it really does feel like more like the comics in a way that movies have never been able to before. The problem is, like with the Henry Cavill Superman movies not being good, or, you know, with, you can, it feels like with the DC movies, you could always kind of go like, well, there'll be another one.
Yeah.
You know, eventually there'll be another one. They'll try again. They'll get it right next time, maybe. You know, but
they made a Justice League movie, and for the villain, they chose Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
How many shots do you get at making a Justice League movie
to
fumble so big?
But I mean, to be fair, no one knew who Thanos was, you know, but Steppenwolf is, again, he's basically being Loki. He's going like, I'm going to come to Earth and do this because there's somebody bigger than me over me. Where it's just like, okay, you got Steppenwolf and Darkseid instead of Loki and Thanos. You know, they're not one. But of course, it speaks to the thing that, you know, apparently Zack Snyder's version, which I have no interest in, but, you know, that it was going to be more, it was going to be a two-part thing, and it was going to be Darkseid was going to be the big thing. And
so we've said before that we don't think the Snyder Cut exists in the way that people talk about it. Yeah. Like, in anything other than, like, in the way special features on movies will have, you can watch, like, the storyboards and animatics and stuff. But then did you see where Jason Momoa kind of trolled a little bit, talking about Aquaman being set right after the last scene of the Snyder Cut?
It's like, well, thanks. That helps us in no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't even know. I don't think it would have been good, but it might have made more sense.
Yeah, it might have made more sense.
But I say that having seen Batman versus Superman, which does not. It's like so, it's such a mess. No. It's so all over the place that I don't have much faith that.
The plot's all over the place, but it's maybe tonally consistent with itself in a way that Justice League isn't, because it's got two directors that
and
very different and unique.
Who knows how many writers and like show or, you know, like script notes and like executive orders and this, that, and the other thing. What a mess. What a mess. Yeah, I don't think there's any way that if they had done the Snyder version, I would have liked it better.
No.
I think it would have continued along. Zack Snyder was just a horrible choice from jump for Superman. I think he probably could have done, he did a good Watchmen in that. Well, I say that.
But Watchmen is already suited more to his style.
Yeah.
I mean, the Batman scenes in Batman versus Superman, where Batman's doing his thing, or some of the probably maybe most Batman looking as far as faithful to the comic books and what was brought to the has been brought to the big screen.
But to start your thing with an old Batman is like, wait, what? Why?
Some weird choices.
Yeah, it's like you're just getting this thing off the ground. You don't start with him ready to retire.
We can, I mean, this has all been said like a million times, so it's not
we can turn the page. Oh,
yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's like, what a mess. And this is, you know, this is what happens when there's nobody at the rudder of the, or nobody at the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked for a minute there like it was going to be Geoff Johns, but then he didn't, you know, and it's like stuff kept getting shuffled. And it's like, there's so much stuff going on over there that where Warner Brothers seems like so mismanaged. And so there's too many people in charge, but no one's really in charge until you get to people that are like way high up the ladder. And then they're like, what? Yeah, I don't care about any of this. Whatever. All right, get right, these
the
people
top executives at Warner Brothers. DC is not their only thing they care about. And
whereas, I mean, and that's true of Disney also, but it feels very clear that Kevin Feige is definitely where he's in the position of power at Marvel. Yeah. And he has a lot of pull because these movies have made $1 billion. He's made 20 successful movies in a row now, several of which have been insane successes.
It's a ridiculous track record.
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, basically, you know, Iron Man, huge hit. And then the others were all successful. But then, like, for Avengers to be like just a gigantic, insane juggernaut of and then to have things improve and get bigger from there is just
unprecedented.
Yeah.
And yeah, he can do whatever he wants now.
Also, Matt, I want to just thank you for this entire time. I realized you have been sitting there staring at me while I'm talking with this ridiculous mustache and you have not said a word. You've not blinked an eye. You've not, I'm sure you were thinking it, but,
that's a nice mustache.
Well, thank you. I was just shaving today. And I did that last. And when I got to, I was like, yep.
How does April feel about it?
She hadn't seen it. This was literally right before you got
okay.
here. So I'm.
Because my wife has a strong no mustache
rule. Yeah. April will probably laugh. And then, but I mean, this will last a day or two at the most. And then I'll be like, all right. I've gotten to have my joke. We got to make everyone.
Well, you're also wearing a Mario shirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of match.
Did not even think about
match
that. I grabbed the Mario shirt to put on before I did this. So complete coincidence. Though I did listen to a podcast this morning about the Super Mario Brothers movie, which now makes me think maybe this was all sort of somewhere in my subconscious.
They incepted you.
They really did.
You got incepted. Can turn the page on that. So I was reading that when Marvel Studios was originally started, you know, Marvel said, hey, we want to have our own movie studios. But because of we've sold the rights of so many characters to so many different studios, we have a very short list to work with of who we can do. So when they got their loan from the bank to start Marvel Studios, got their loan from
is that not insane to think about too, that Marvel having to go to the bank with their hat in hand and ask for a loan.
Well,
we'd like to make some movies.
Only a few years prior, Marvel's totally bankrupt.
Yeah.
And
that's why
Sony has the license for all the Spider-Man stuff, that Fox has all these other licenses, Universal. So they had the short list of characters that they even had. So they came.
But look at who they had, though. They had Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor. And it's.
Well, anyway, go ahead. Anyway, at the time, though, that was not.
Yeah.
That was like, who cares? We want Spider-Man and the X-Men. So they had a list of 10 movies, 10 possible movies they brought to the bank to get the loan for Marvel Studios. And Shang-Chi was one of them. So
I wish I could have been at that, just to see that meeting of like, here's the movies we'd like to make.
There's a Hawkeye movie, which never got made. Yeah, Shang-Chi. There's one or two. I guess you probably know this from hearing about the history of Ant-Man. Ant-Man was one of those ones planned from the beginning. It just kept getting pushed back.
I still wish, as much as I like Peyton Reed, and we talked about Ant-Man and the Wasp last week, but in the last episode of Keep It Close to Me, not Comics Rule Everything Around Me, in case you want to go back and find that episode. And when you're listening to this 20 years in the future. And, anyway, I'm dying to know more about what the Edgar Wright version looked like.
The Edgar Wright cut.
Release. Why is no one hollering for
the Wright cut of Ant-Man?
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a neat list. I can't really remember. Some of them were like Iron Man stuff that we got.
Was Cap on there?
I think so. And then some of it was stuff that we never got. And I think Shang-Chi was one of those that's just been on the back burner, When Marvel was developing their Netflix series, a lot of people were like, oh, maybe Shang-Chi will be there. Yeah. And I feel like he was almost conspicuously absent from that lineup. It's mm-hmm. like, and even when Iron Fist was in development, man, people were getting pretty upset. I guess they were wanting an Asian actor cast to play Iron Fist, even though he's not in the comics. But they're like saying, hey, we've already got a bazillion white superheroes. Can we, you know, if we're gonna do a martial arts thing, can we have an Asian actor? And I always kind of wondered, are they saving that because they've got this Shang-Chi? And knowing that maybe Shang-Chi feature film has been on the back burner for a long time, maybe they're trying to save, who knows? Anyway. Yeah.
I feel like Randy and I have talked about this, but I can't remember where he came down on it. To me, I'm like, part of Shang-Chi, nope, scratch that, part of Iron Fist is like part of the story with him and like what he comes out of, like where the character was created out of is like part of... And I think it is a little bit like inherent, to the character that it's like that he is this white guy that's totally doesn't fit into that world.
Yeah, so you have the fish out of water.
Yeah, and just like he immediately stands out as not being a part of that. Like just even from a visual mm-hmm. sense, when he's, you know, like when he's with all the people learning, my brain just went blank on where he goes.
Kung Lun?
Yes, yes. So, but I mean, and people could, and you could totally say like, yeah, you could do that same story though with an Asian kid who's just grown up in America.
Yeah. Grown up and then, entitled,
and I see that, yeah. But he doesn't, to me, that doesn't seem as much as a fish out of water.
Yeah.
All of which is to say, I don't know. Look,
who knows?
but also it's like, if I guess you could do it both ways, but I feel like I would have also been fine with him just not doing Iron Fist, even though I do really like Iron Fist, but then I didn't totally. Nothing sold me on that show.
No, I didn't see the second season, which people said were better, but the first season fell really flat for me. I didn't enjoy it.
Even though I do know that I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, Randy and his wife Nora both ended up in that show in different places.
Really?
If I'm remembering correctly, yes. So Randy and Nora, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's pretty cool. Every now and then, it's so cool, like with all the stuff that shoots where they live, and they're both like actors, and Randy's like obviously an incredible martial artist. Mm-hmm. He's a literal master, and he, a stunt person. And like, so he ends up in a lot of things where he'll send me a text or I'll like get a picture from something where he's like, guess where I am? You know, and then I'm just like, this is the coolest thing ever. Yeah. I'm like, this is so amazing. And it also helps that Randy is like such a charming, wonderful person that it's like, I feel nothing but pride and happiness for him. And whereas with some people, I'd be like, that jerk, he doesn't deserve to be in that. I don't know what I was getting at. It doesn't matter. This will all be cut. None of this will be in the
show. There's a line from one of the villains in Smallville that like Jack and I laugh about, where it's this female villain that tells Lana Lang, you don't deserve your perfect life, Lana. I do. That's what I think about when I'm jealous of other people. You don't deserve that perfect life. I do.
That should be me. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's getting into a whole other thing. But, you know, these podcasts are about life and stuff as much as they are about the things we love. So I think it's okay to talk about that kind of stuff. That's getting into I was not prepared to talk about any of this. So let's move on.
Let's move on.
All of this will probably end up as something else. So let's start the real show now. How long have we been doing that? Hey, actually, you know what? Let's, since we're in the midst of that, let's talk about that. And we're talking about Marvel movie stuff. I'm excited about Shang-Chi. I want representation for people. Please don't let that be your takeaway that I don't. I just want things to be good. And I want, sometimes when you get those executive mandate, those like studio mandates on things, I think it ends up making the finished product sometimes not be as good as it could. Like if it's not working now, I think some directors and writers and people like that take those mandates and then knock them out of the park.
Right.
They take them and they work with the limitations and it turns into something beautiful, but sometimes it doesn't. And then I'm bummed.
And it makes you go like, oh, maybe if they hadn't had their hands tied by this, or maybe if they hadn't had to do X, Y, or Z. Now, I don't think that most of those problems are usually stuff with like, oh, there's too many people of color in this. Like, I don't think that's what the problem is. So don't, please don't think I'm anyone. Please don't think that's what I'm getting at. But yeah, it's just with some of these movies, you can really, there's things that, to me at least, feel so much where you go, oh, this sticks out to me as something that feels very just.
You see that in comics too, where creators will leave a book because it's just too much editorial, you know, hey, this character needs to be involved in these 80 big events on the horizon. And then I can't make the story I wanted to tell weave into that.
Yeah.
A recent, you know, Matt Fraction leaving Inhumans really before it even got started. Yeah. It's like, I have a story to tell, but this ain't it. So
yeah, it's weird thinking about being in those situations where, I mean, you kind of know what the, so the most I've ever had to deal with editorial things in working in my very limited experience, working in comics or in comic adjacent things is where, you know, you draw something and the editor sends the page back to you, not sends it back. They're not like, ugh, do it again.
Try again.
No, but they send it back. Like I had an editor send stuff back to me as I was sending the pages in. And I stopped saying send it back to you. He didn't send it back. He just sent me an email. Was like, hey, we can't have this on there. Or like, hey, can you add this? Or can you change this? Mm-hmm. Or like, hey, it ended up we're not going to be able to. If we don't do this, we're going to get in trouble. Can you make this look a little different or something? You know, and or, you know, would get stuff back where they're like, hey, you can't do this joke. Or like, and not because it's bad. It's just like, you know, that might get us in trouble. Or right. Like, I don't think people are going to get it. Or it's like, it's not clear. Or, you know, just stuff where it's like, this doesn't make sense.
That's why you have editors. They can.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because you're too close to the work to catch all that stuff.
I mean, but I'm not so close to it that I can't get really mad when someone's like, this joke doesn't work. Look, what do you know about making jokes?
You need to draw him with a Coca-Cola in his hand because they're our advertiser this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Product placement.
but I had, I mean, honestly, I was very lucky in that I had very little stuff in the way of that. And I think I always worked well with my editors. So if there's any editors out there that are looking for someone to write some jokes, write some silly joke style comics, let me know. But yeah, sometimes I can't even imagine what it would be like to be one of these people like Matt Fraction, who is in a situation where they're like coming to you and going, or I mean, I don't even know what the process for something like that is. I can imagine a bunch of different ways it could go, but like, imagine with that, they're going like, hey, Inhumans are going to be our next big focus. Cause like the movie studio is wanting to do something with them and then blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden you're like, I'm the guy that's sitting here writing comics. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I'm about to be put in to the mix for this thing. Right. People way above me have got plans for. So now I have to try to come up with an idea for a thing, but that also is going to be constantly scrutinized by more than just my normal editor, but by other people.
And like, every five, six issues, I'm having to deal with a crossover or some of my characters
like
are unavailable.
All this stuff. And I want to think that it's like, you kind of know that that's the boat you're getting on when you get on some of these books. So you have to go like, well, you know, how frustrated can you be when you know that this is what you signed up for?
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, what I can only imagine what that process is like to be going, all right, I spent all this time like, because writing comics is hard. Writing anything is pretty hard unless you're just kind of like a savant at it or something.
Right.
I think anyone that's actually a writer will say it's hard because it really is like it's a task to like, take nothing and go, all right, let me make something. And you want it to be good. And I know like I give a lot of comics a hard time for the biggest thing lately in comics that completely ruins them for can like one bad line of dialogue can kind of sour, like we've said with the, with the poop and the brownie analogy. In the brownie batter analogy.
It takes you right out of it.
It takes you right out of it. And it kind of sours me on the whole book. Even when like the plot is good and I've enjoyed, like the art is really good. I'm still just going like, ugh. It just puts enough of a bad taste in my mouth, my brain mouth, to like
to where I'm like, oh, this all just feels, it kind of like, it puts me in a different headspace when I'm reading the rest of the issue. And then if it takes you out of that, oh, I'm enjoying this. And then all of a sudden you're like, it would be like if you were on a roller coaster and you're having a good time and all of a sudden they stop the roller coaster and someone comes up, like you're at a low point on the roller coaster. One of the employees comes up and you're just still sitting there in the cart and they come up and just punch you in the stomach. And you're like, oh, what was that for? And then they start the roller coaster back up. And then you're like, well, this isn't fun now. Why'd he punch? Yeah. What?
Well, continue with that roller coaster analogy. It kills the momentum. When you're taken out of the momentum of a scene.
Yeah, yeah. When you're enjoying it and it's fun, and all of a sudden screeches to a halt for them to punch you in the stomach and then go, all right, have fun. I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to have fun now. You ruined the whole thing. And so I know that I get, I give a lot of stuff a hard time. You know, it really is a thing that sticks with me lately, but I think I only get mad at it because I know how hard it is. And when I see writers having to put in all this other work to fill up the rest of this 22 pages or whatever. And then I go, also, I know how much work the artist put in on this and the colorist and the letterer, and like an editor has to approve all this. And then people have to get the files ready for printing. Mm-hmm. And there's like all this stuff. And I go, why did no one, and of course you want to assume that the editor read the thing beforehand.
Why didn't he say, let's tighten up this line of dialogue?
Why you say, let's not have Cyborg be complaining about how cold it is while they're having a funeral for all these dead Kandorians.
Yeah.
It's never going to stop bugging me. That whole thing with Man of Steel is never going to stop.
This up?
It's like, ugh, I don't mean to be, what? Oh, it just eats at me. That's not healthy. I shouldn't still be. Look, I know it's my problem, but I know how hard all that stuff is. But it's like also, man, you're messing up a bunch of other people's hard work too.
Right.
So why are we talking about dialogue? I have no idea.
goodness, I don't know.
Anyway, Matt Fraction talking about all these.
But things. That was only because we're talking about executive oversight.
Yeah. Which is how we kind of got into that. We were talking about editors and none of that matters. Let's talk about the Captain Marvel trailer.
All
speaking
right.
of Matt
I think
Fraction,
that's where you were going.
Yes, speaking of Matt Fraction, his wife Kelly Sue DeConnick, who of course is
good,
the
good connective tissue.
Yes, there we go. I'll cut this all apart where it sounds like I just went flawlessly.
Nice.
I won't really.
Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Who is officially she showed some behind the scenes pictures after that new trailer dropped of her with Brie Larson on the set.
I saw that, yeah.
And super cool. And she is 1000%, I think, responsible for Carol being a big player in Marvel. Right.
So not the creator of Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, but definitely responsible for where she is now.
I think I would say she's responsible for Carol as Captain Marvel.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, she was Miss Marvel and Binary and other names before that.
Yeah, you know, but it's like, she was the one who, it's like maybe this, I'm sure this probably was like an executive, you know, like, or an editorial mandate to be like, hey, we want to do something with Carol. Yeah. We want to make her a more important character. Because there was a Miss Marvel series going not that long before Captain Marvel, before she took over as Captain Marvel. And I remember when they were like making a big deal that like, she's going to be Captain Marvel now. And like, I don't know I know some of the stuff she's been up to. I don't know what all is going on behind the scenes with them, but it's like, it seemed a little weird for a while where it's like, oh, there's, as Captain Marvel, you know, as Carol was gaining more momentum as a character within the Marvel universe.
Part of that momentum is how Bendis was using her in Avengers most of the time.
But it was like, I felt a little weird. I was like, why is Kelly Sue not writing this? You know, they've had different, you know, she hasn't been writing it. And I'm like, oh, now I'm going, oh, maybe it's because she's been busy helping them with movie stuff. And obviously we know she's doing her own, like, creator own books and she's been doing other stuff. But
you mean now? Like,
well, now, yeah. But I mean, also, like, I'm trying to think of what the timeline is for how all of this went together. I guess it's not really, ultimately, it's not that important. But it is definitely exciting to see that she has been, she's definitely involved in working on the movie and sort of steering some, steering might not be the right word. I'm sure But to see, it's really good to see someone who so clearly, in the fans' minds, is responsible for this character.
For getting it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to see them being brought in and utilized, like, instead of having Hollywood go, we know what we're doing.
Right.
You know, to have them go like, no, you're the one who got this character, you know, who put this character in this position for us to be making a movie of her. Mm-hmm. What, you know, what is it? Tell us. I mean, on those meetings.
The art side of things, Jamie McKelvey's costume design is pretty much exactly the way the MCU, the costume she has in the trailer, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is cool to see. Yeah.
All right. So, well, that'll wrap it up on. No. do you have any thoughts on the new trailer?
Let's see. I feel like the way the trailer's presented, which is a good thing, it's not giving away the whole story. I don't really know what's happening. There's some kind of disjointed time jumpy stuff happening that she grew up in space, but is from Earth, but it's not. Maybe not as simple as that.
There's definitely some flashback stuff. Yeah, there's like, you see the flashback stuff of her on Earth.
And she's either got lost memories or, yeah. So I'm not, and that's good. I don't want to know the whole story before I go in. I kind of hate that. So, and then I think, I messaged you this, that some of the action sequences we see at the tail end of the trailer where she's flying through space, blasting spaceships and stuff. I'm like, we have not seen that kind of action. You know, 20 movies into the Marvel Universe, we've not seen that yet. Even in Guardians of the Galaxy, even in Infinity War, we've not seen the big cosmic superhero flying through space.
Yeah, someone that really blasting. Just has like, there's no Superman in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
There's no one who's really like on that kind of level. Now, like Thor is, of course, very powerful.
But they've not used Thor that way.
Yeah. Thor, I mean, and you see Thor getting into like fist fights with people. Mm-hmm. And he's done cooler stuff too. I mean, he's done bigger thing. Certainly in Infinity War, he really.
Oh, yeah.
When he shows up, it's like, oh, okay. You're in trouble now.
Yeah. I bet seeing them interact in future movies is going to be.
Yeah.
Future movie.
I'm sure that's why we're still not. Once again, we thought that maybe by the time we recorded this, there was going to be the trailer for Avengers. So far, so good.
Yeah, still nothing.
Did you see that thing on Twitter? I tweeted this earlier that somebody did a thing where it was like the Avengers 4 title is whatever the last song you listened to was. And for me, it was Avengers So Far, So Good, which actually kind of works.
Yeah, I like that one.
I mean, it's not a good movie title, but it does kind of work. It is apropos of sort of bigger thing, like, yeah, we're doing pretty good. What would yours be?
The end credit music on Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Whatever song that was.
I think it's, yeah, I don't know who it is.
I just opened my Spotify and was like, whatever is on here currently is whatever is it was in the middle of playing. I'll say that's what it was. And it happened to work.
Yeah.
I think Carol has got to play such a part in this next one that's like, they can't. But how are they gonna? I'm like fascinated by how this thing is gonna go.
And why is she being on so long? So that's neat to. Yeah, I think even with Thor is at that power level, but we've not seen him used like that.
Yeah,
and
he's not just like flying around blasting stuff.
No, he's not doing that.
I texted this back to you, and I was like, I'm not sure if the sentence fully made sense, but I was like, yeah, we haven't really seen anybody just with a hand. We haven't seen a lot of hand lasers,
right?
Yet. Like, which in comics, you see that all the time.
Comics, anime kind of thing. People shooting energy out of their hands, but have we gotten that in the movies yet?
There's not really I can't think of any. There's not really much of that in the movies.
Iron Man's repulsors is the closest thing.
And it's like, you think about, even like with the gauntlet, Thanos is never just zap, fist, pointing at something, zap. It's always like
That's not how he uses it. Yeah.
Yeah, he does the thing and something happens. Loki had like that scepter where he was shooting blast, but he used it really sparingly. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of, I was like, literally.
It's a unique visual.
Hand lasers are the things that comic movies have been missing. Mm-hmm. I guess Cyborg sort of had that cannon, but that feels a little more Iron Man-y.
Yeah, that's a weapon more than.
Yeah, it's not like.
It's coming from her.
It's not like. The fact that all those shots of her just like glowing with wave special effects coming off of her.
Super Saiyan.
Yeah. Well, even like the, the collector in Thor Ragnarok, he's supposed to be so powerful, but he still had to use that stick to melt the guy.
Yeah.
there's not a lot of people just like it's almost
man, I
like
hope we get more of him. In the future.
I would love that. I really would, especially if they did that thing. You know, they said that Jeff Goldblum wanted to do another movie where it was just him and the Beyonder because they're supposed to be brothers. But that's him and Benicio del Toro together as these insane characters. And like, that would be.
Did you watch the special features on Ragnarok where it's like him hanging out with a roommate on Earth?
Yes, yes.
They start a band and he melts one of the band members.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I would love to see more of that. Even if they just did like, see, that's the kind of thing that would be perfect too for this thing that they're supposedly doing. Like, they're going to do Marvel TV series the streaming thing.
Yeah, Marvel or Disney Plus.
Yeah, Disney Plus. Which, boy, there's another one I'm going to have to, like, well, I guess I got to get this one too. I love too that now all these different streaming things have got me for more than cable ever did.
Yeah, cut cable and then it ends up, it's going to, before it's over, you're paying the same amount, if not more.
I like that this definitely seems like the kind of thing where we saw more of it because they're like, oh, we have more of it done now.
Yeah.
Like the first one, it was very limited sort of what you see. And this feels very much like, hey, okay, we finally got some of these special effects done. Let's show this stuff now. And it's funny when you hear like the directors and people behind the scenes talking about things like that, where they're like, yeah, we put this in the trailers first because it was the shot that we got done the quickest, you know, or like they got this finished first.
And two, nowadays it seems like some stuff is just made for the trailers and doesn't even show up in the film.
Which is a thing I am not a fan of. I feel like, cause there's those moments where you're going like, oh, that was cool. And then they cut it out of the movie and you're like waiting for it the whole time. Like, wait, when is that? Wait, that part didn't happen. Did I imagine that?
Yeah.
It's like, this is a reference from 2003. There's in the trailer for Freddy versus Jason, there's a part where the main girl in that, the final girl in that says, Freddy versus Jason, place your bets. And then that's in the trailer. Everybody's waiting for it. And then they cut it out of the movie.
A big recent one for me was Rogue One.
And a bunch of that stuff is like, there's compilations on YouTube that like really dissect how some of the stuff is not just like they took it out. Some of it is like they had it one way in the trailer and then in the movie, it's completely different.
It changed it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, what was this movie before then? What was
And that's the whole thing about the Snyder Cut is Justice League has a ton of it. A ton of stuff that is nowhere in the movie. So it's like, is there a whole other movie on the cutting floor? That's how those kind of ideas get.
Can we get that off of the cutting room floor and directly into the trash where it belongs?
Yeah, but I feel like movies long, trailers short.
Go with me here. Matt gave me a look that said, go with me here.
Movies long, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Trailers short, 2 minutes or less.
Yes.
Some scenes need several minutes to really get the feel of. How can we get that same idea into a 1 or 2 second snippet? So I feel like, I think maybe that's how you get there. Let's shoot something for the trailer.
Yeah.
And this won't actually be in the movie, but it's a way to kind of get people excited about seeing that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and when it's something where you're going like, if it's stuff like that, I'm all for it. I think a lot of that comes from the fact that it's like they turn, usually with movies these days, especially these big movies, they basically just turn a bunch of their footage over to a company that makes trailers. And they don't know what the story of the movie is. They look at all of these pieces of a movie and try to assemble it into something.
Sometimes that goes hilariously bad.
Yes, yes. We don't have to name names. But, you know, when these trailer companies, who their job, they know what they're doing. They know what trailers need to get a general audience interested in a thing or to try to get a general audience interested.
And there's still movies that like the movies ended up being pretty lame, but I want to see the movie the trailer was advertising.
Yeah. Show me the movie you promised me. So are you more or less excited for the movie for Captain Marvel?
I think I was already pretty excited. I liked everything I saw. Oh, okay. Another thing, it seems like, Samuel L. Jackson's role is going to be bigger than what I thought.
I thought
he was going to have a smaller role, but in the trailer, it seems like it's a buddy.
Yeah, thing. It's he's definitely be, like a. I think it's definitely a sort of he's the second build, like the number, the sidekick sort.
So yeah, I thought he was going to have a much smaller role. Like in,
I think I had heard that he was going to be pretty big in this.
Okay, also Annette Bening is in it apparently.
Yeah,
who do you think she is?
I have no idea, and I'm kind of like with that stuff. Like that, I'm like I don't want to know. Like when they said that, you know, the first thing I heard was Julie Andrews has got a mystery role in Aquaman. I was like, oh, that's neat. And I was like, oh, that'll be cool to find out when I see the movie. And then like 20 minutes later, everyone was going like, oh, she's playing a giant monster.
A giant kaiju monster.
Like a giant kaiju sea monster. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that would have been fun to find out at the movie.
Crazy thing about that is that movie's coming out the same day as Mary Poppins, which she does not have a cameo in.
Aww. Oh, now that's a now I'm sad. That's a bummer now.
It's like she literally walked across the aisle of the movie theaters. I'm going to cameo on this.
I'm going to go check this one
Aquaman
out.
Aquaman movie instead.
Anyway, yeah, I think I'm about to say the only thing I think it's kind of weird. I feel like that we still have not really seen much of Brie Larson. Like, actually, like, I don't know. I feel like I don't know anything about Carol's character.
Like acting and giving her
lines, like her personality. Yeah. It's like it's all been plot, explosion, special effects.
That's true.
Like, funny joke, you know, alien. So, but nothing really about, which I guess you don't really need for these kind of movies. That's not what people are going to them for. But Brie Larson is such a good actress. And it's like, that's why I was so excited when they cast her for this, because I was like, oh, man. She's going to be great. I mean, she's great basically no matter what you put her in. But I was like, oh, this is such a cool fit.
I hate to think this is true, that like maybe they're trying to hedge their bets on the action, the explosions to get men and boys excited about a female-led movie.
Man, yeah. You'd think that Wonder Woman would have shown them
they don't have to do that. I hope that's not the case, but it is weird that, there's not been a...
See, and that's like, that's that studio executive thing. That's like a bummer when you, once you start seeing, that's the problem for me is it's like, once you start seeing those strings, it's hard to enjoy it as much.
Captain Marvel with just as much explosions as
the Wolverine movies. Don't worry. It's still going to be cool, guys. You know, like, I don't know.
Look, we've got some cool boys in it.
Yeah.
And lots of stuff explodes.
And look at all this. Oh, and look at these jokes. And don't you worry. It's going to be fine. I just want the movie. I want good movies.
Are you more or less excited about it after that?
I think I'm the same.
Same. Yeah, I'm about as hyped as I'm going to get for it.
I could get more hyped. If I saw a trailer that really showed me something that like, hey, no, this is actually going to be a good movie. Like the story here and the acting and like, now that you've said that, I'm like, oh, that's exactly why we haven't seen the stuff that I was talking about.
It doesn't mean that doesn't exist.
Yes. No, I'm sure that it's going to be there in the movie. I mean, Marvel is very smart about this stuff. And it's obviously the buck stops at Kevin Feige. And he obviously has shown time and time again, he cares about these characters. He cares about them being represented well.
If the trailer had this line somewhere in it, I'm going to get that Thanos.
Oh yeah. If they just had that in it, but it really, well, anyway, I could be more excited for it. But the stuff that would make me more excited for it, because I know that the action and the comic stuff, I know is going to be great. Mm-hmm. I know that they're going to take care of all that. So what I want to see now from these trailers is stuff that resonates with me on a different level. Cause I already know they can do all the comic stuff fine. Right. You don't have to show that to me. For me to be, I'm on board for that.
Show me that she's going to be the next really likable character that I can be excited about.
The stuff that sticks with me from, there's tons of, Infinity War is cool stuff that is just, I can't believe I'm seeing this in a movie.
About nonstop.
Almost nonstop. So it's like the stuff that really sticks with me though, is all of the things that are like the character moments. The little things that are like, that's cool. That really shows me. Mm. That speaks to what that character, like it, that feels like Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Like that feels like Spider-Man. That, or like, oh my gosh, I'm so hurting for Tony right now. Like all of that stuff, like that shot of Tony after they've lost.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there and
they've cast some incredible actors and actresses, and when they get to shine, it elevates it. This is more than just the popcorn blockbuster.
Yes. That's what makes these resonate with people, even if people don't realize it. There's, of course, the Mr. Plinkett thing is you may not have realized it, but your brain did, you know? So it's like, there's these things where it's like, even if like the average moviegoer doesn't know why they liked this so much better than say, you know, Suicide Squad.
Right.
It's even though that movie was cast with like a ton of great people,
yeah,
but it didn't come together the same way because it's a whole other movie. That's a whole other thing. But you know, when you've got that stuff and you're going, you got these good actors and you've got these moments where it's like, I care about these guys. Mm-hmm. You've made me care about these people. That's the stuff that I kind of want to see now a little bit more of in the trailers to make me more excited for it.
Yeah.
But it also, you know, part of it is like, I don't know anyone in Captain Marvel yet. I know the characters from the comics, but who knows how.
Might be different. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, the only person we really know is Samuel L. Jackson. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, this is not this. And he's not the Nick Fury that we know yet. Mm-hmm. So kind of going like.
Phil Coulson's supposed to be in it too. I don't remember if he was in the trailer though.
I don't think he is. I'm
pumped to see him again. I like
absolutely.
Clark Gregg.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where I'm just going like, I want an emotional end to these movies. And so when all you're showing me is like the cool stuff, I'm like, yeah, I already know about all that.
Yeah.
I'm already down for that. So just give me something else to let me know, like, this is why you pointing directly at, you know, people like me can feel safe to get excited about this. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like with Black Panther. I was like, I know that they're going to handle the jumping, clawing, you know, jumping off of a car. I know all that stuff's going to be fine. Like, that's going to work great. Show me why this is something special.
Right.
And which they did. The feel for Black Panther was like so different for anyway. So yeah, I think that's it. This has definitely been long enough for a whole episode now. So we're just gonna, I'll end it like we normally do. Follow Matt on Twitter at @XAMattDrain. Is that right?
That's it.
I've said it a million times, but for some reason, just then when it came out, I was like, this doesn't sound right.
Yeah. XA Matt Drain.
Okay.
XA just stands for Chi Alpha, which is the name of the ministry pastor at University of Memphis.
Oh.
Did you just put that together?
Oh. I thought you were like a big EXO Manowar fan, but like you were going.
But XO was taken, yes, so I did XA. So,
yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter at TheChrisHaley. Follow the show at KICTM Podcast. All of this stuff is in the show notes. Go to the Patreon if you want to get the episodes early and other behind the scenes stuff and extra things, which I thought this was going to be just like an extra bonus episode for the Patreon. But now we have talked so long, we didn't even do an intro. This is a Keep It Close to Me. I'll do the intro and the outro at the same time. Keepitclosetome.com is the podcast website that has all the show notes and everything like that, and links to things, and sometimes the visuals of some of the weird stuff that we talk about during the episodes. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I love you guys. It means so much that y'all keep listening, and when you tweet us questions and all that stuff, it's absolute best. Can't thank you enough. Share it with your friends if you like the show, if you got somebody else that's into the kind of stuff we talk about. Please share it with them. It really helps. I'll just leave you with this.
Yeah, he's writing 5 or 6 books a month because I think he's not taking the time to read any other comics. He's not doing the research side of writing that is so time consuming.